This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Good Friday morning to you and yours. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Oh, I love what you're rocking today, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. But officially today, so we're going to talk some college baseball. Are you officially a Mountaineer today?
I'm an honorary Mountaineer for life now. Shout out to Ren Baker, athletics director there at West Virginia. And I'm telling you, the care package, it's Christmas in June, brother. If you can see behind me right here, Dave, if you can see it, that is a throwback West Virginia cap that the team has worn this year. It's not available for purchase. And so I got really lucky. I've had more people tweeting me about, dude, you need to sell this. I saw one person say, hey, Ren, if we put this on sale, we can pay for another football player to come to campus in our day of NIL, taking some of the sales and trying to get an NIL package together. But Hail WV, baby. Hashtag Hail WV. They were out and about. I saw some pictures from Rocco's yesterday. Of course, we were there last year with VSiN and the group. It's a two-horse race right now between West Virginia and Ole Miss. They were rowdy and purchasing left, right, and center yesterday. So good luck for the start there at Rocco's this morning and first pitch there at 2 p.m. Eastern as well.
You're a good man, honorable man. That's not for resale. That is for Jensen Lewis. That's very cool. That Mountaineer hoodie or three-quarter zip looks fantastic on you, and I know Mom is going to be thrilled when she wakes up and sees you rocking that. And everybody in Morgantown, you look like an honorary West Virginia, one of us, that's for sure. Great show today. Quentin Mills is going to join the program again to talk some college baseball here as we're in Omaha in earnest. See the values we can find in some of those numbers. Jack Collins is going to join us in the second hour. Now that the World Cup is underway, two matches yesterday that we'll look at. And then, of course, Team USA getting underway today against Paraguay. I cannot wait to break that down with Jack and Lou Fitacaro. I don't know if you guys have seen the pictures at the White House and the South Lawn for Freedom 250, but it looks spectacular. Can't wait to get to Sunday night there at the White House. We'll break that down with Lou later on in the show. But a big one last night down in Raleigh, and they were raucous. And we got a leader right now in the Stanley Cup playoffs and the finals. Let's break it down right now with our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
He did it again. Jordan Staal camping out in front of the net. He gets a goal for the fifth straight game. They've only played five in the Stanley Cup Finals to do that. Matthews scored every game. And the Hurricanes get the win last night. 4-2, they take a 3-2 lead now in the Stanley Cup Finals. Can close this out when they go back to Las Vegas for game six. And because of that, we have seen a change in the Conn Smythe this morning, Jensen. Guess who is now odds on to win the Conn Smythe? It's not Mitch Marner. It's Jordan Staal at -$1.10. Stormy Bonantoni, I hope you're sleeping right now in Las Vegas. $1.05 out there in some places. She's not going to be thrilled when she hears that news. But Jensen, we have a massive shift in the odds market.
Remember, Jonathan Davis, who joined us yesterday. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think he has a 100-1 ticket on Jordan Staal.
I believe so.
Or at least 50-1. So it's astronomical, whatever it is. But, hey, you score for the fifth straight time, as Jordan Staal did after Vegas had taken the early 1-0 lead. He gets the equalizer. Brandon Bussey, hey, jump on the bus. He has been a revelation for them. Couple of games, 23 saves now in his second start. This is critical, and now all of a sudden, if you're Vegas, you're up against it. Carolina has not suffered consecutive losses since mid-January, so Vegas going to have to do something that has not transpired for the better part of 2026. Fabulous game. I can't believe I'm saying this, Dave. I actually played the under yesterday. I played it under 6.5. It gets home, albeit... Yeah, you never feel like it's under until it's over. I believe they sell t-shirts in the VSiN.com store there with that. But what a game yet again. And now let's see what happens headed back to T-Mobile on Saturday night.
Yeah, Sebastian Aho got in the score column as well. So some of those lines that we had not seen a whole lot from yesterday got it done. You mentioned Bussey. He's been really good in there. And maybe now we can solve the riddle of why Frederik Andersen's not playing. It's not so much just Bussey, but they're alluding to in the broadcast that maybe he really is injured. So we'll talk about that as to why we haven't seen him dress in the last two games. Today, I believe that we will win. USA against Paraguay to kick off their version of the World Cup. Two matches yesterday. Jensen, all eyes will be on America as the host country and higher expectations this year, it feels like, 4 years later.
Going to be fun, right? Out in SoFi, the atmosphere in Mexico City was amazing yesterday. We got home on our first World Cup wager, the under 2.5, albeit it was very scary through the first half and even through the second half. Red cards galore. They have two red cards, wow. Two men sent off there for South Africa and one for Mexico. But USA Paraguay, let's get it on tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern time out there at the home of the Chargers and the Rams. It should be the home of the red, white, and blue. Should be very well represented with the home crowd. Anxious to see how the boys do in their first group match.
Total sitting at 2.5. Got to lay a half goal there with the United States today in that first round matchup here against Paraguay. You mentioned it's Mexico with the win in South Korea to kick off this World Cup with wins yesterday. Surprise, surprise. I'm not a doctor. Didn't see this coming. I don't know if Mr. Miyagi got in there and helped out, but Tarek Skubal is going to fight. Yeah, he's going to pitch way ahead of schedule here, and he's going to come back on Saturday. I don't know if this is, maybe with the Tigers kind of resurgence a little bit. I don't know if this is a showcase to get him back before the trade deadline. But, Jensen, are you surprised? Because I don't think a lot of the medical said he'd be back this soon.
Well, it's this new procedure, or newer for those not initiated. It is called a nanoneedle scope, and that has been really the revelation here. You've had, 5 weeks ago, I think, is when that procedure took place. That return for an injury of the loose bodies that Tarek Skubal, we've seen a handful of other guys have, that's usually a 2 to 3 month rehab process. So, Dave, not only way ahead of schedule, but if he's back and he's right, remember, I told you the American League still feels very, very wide open. Yes, the Tigers are back by 8 games to the all of a sudden resurgent and story of the year in the American League, Chicago White Sox. But here you go, because 2 of the next 3 series, it's the Cleveland Guardians there in my neck of the woods here, beginners of a 3-game set. Tarek Skubal will pitch tomorrow. And then he's slated again if he takes his normal rest and they get an off day on Thursday. Dave, he is going to pitch that middle game of the series at home against the Chicago White Sox. So perfect timing. And as long as this procedure allows him back to 100%, that is a major, major breakthrough for pitching rehab. And that will have a domino effect for a lot of other guys who have had the same injury.
Great to see it. I mean, we're all rooting. We want to see the best on best, no matter what our tickets are. So it's good for the game to get a guy like Skubal back. As we know how dominant he can be as the reigning defending Cy Young right there from Detroit. Shohei, interesting. He did leave last night's win in Pittsburgh with knee inflammation. Again, we're not doctors, but should be noted, Jensen. What about the flag level here? Is it does it go half staff here? What are we doing with Shohei when we see this?
Well, I know they're going to downplay it. If you look at kind of where he ran, and I understand they say is a precautionary move, I didn't see anything that would be ridiculous, but absolutely, you take every precaution this early in the season. Dave Roberts saying that he felt Ohtani be ready to play Friday night when the Dodgers will be in Chicago to open a 3-game series against the White Sox. I think they'll take it day by day there. This is the nice thing, though, Dave, he's a designated hitter, so it's not like he's got to go back out and play the field. So we'll kind of watch that and see how it transpires later on tonight.
College World Series beginning today. Again, going to have Quentin Mills on the program again. I know we're all fired up for it. Troy against West Virginia, Ole Miss against North Carolina. Jensen, let the excitement and the games begin in Omaha.
It has been great. Good friend of the program, Pat McAfee, arriving there last night. Saw him enjoying some Roccos. We appreciate that. And seeing him really elevate the sport, I think that's going to be the one thing that we all kind of look at, Dave. Back-to-back years now where we have not had a single participant of the previous year's College World Series involved in the very next year. So you get a couple of newbies here in West Virginia and Troy, their first trips to Omaha. You get a couple of teams that have been there, done that before. You're looking at Texas. North Carolina has been here two of the last 3 years. Still got my Ole Miss future. It's 60-1. We will be very interested tonight if they find their way through, probably begin to start monetizing a little bit. But I think we are in for a hell of a couple of weeks here in Middle America.
Getting ready to tee it up for the second round of the RBC Canadian Open north of the border in Toronto. Six players tied atop that board, and I think we have a couple horses out there. Certainly Sam Burns is out there tied for the lead, and Brooks Koepka tied for the lead. Got a little cut there on that first-round leader play yesterday. Not a whole lot to write home about when you have six guys tied for the lead, but still nice to get one guy up there. And, Jens, I think pretty good starts for our cards yesterday.
Absolutely. Very excited. You on Brooks, me on Sam Burns. I do have Brooks Koepka at a top 20 with Ty's market. Anxious to see how the rest of the boys. Tommy Fleetwood actually looked pretty solid himself. Very excited also to kind of see where you go here. I know that's one of your great things is after round one, what did you see from guys? What is the pivot, if you will? But we got some low scores, and I think we got more in store here, not only this afternoon, but into the weekend.
And very quickly, that's where I'm looking, people. If you're out there, you're listening this morning on SiriusXM Channel 158, watching on FanDuel Sports Network, I did play a couple unders here. Brooks Koepka minus under 67.5, and did the same here from Wyndham Clark, looking for a better day from Wyndham. 200 yesterday, not a bad start. But again, feels like the course, Jensen, very, very gettable north of the border. And you got to go low, put that right foot down to the accelerator, because I don't think this is one of those courses that's going to come back to the pack. Okay, what did we see last night in Raleigh? And now the Canes, one win away from their second cup in franchise history. We'll discuss all of that, the changing numbers, and the Conn Smythe next right here. VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Friday morning, and Jensen Lewis, what we saw last night in Carolina was the Hurricanes taking advantage after being down early 1-0 and then really flipping the script. And now they've got a they win the game 4-2. Now they've got a 3-2 lead here. The series will shift back to Vegas on Saturday night for that game 6. And I did feel like watching that game, it was their most, shall we say, complete game. Yes, we've had a 2-goal win when Carolina had the empty netter, but that felt like a 1-goal game, right? This felt like a true 4-2. We beat you for 3 periods here, and they were the better team. Now, I don't know if that's a 1-game aberration, but I think if you're sitting with Carolina Hurricanes tickets, and I am sitting on a couple, you feel a lot better in the manner in which they won last night after giving up that 1-0 lead, quickly getting it back with Jordan Staal, and then dominating the second period, which has normally been VGK's calling card.
Yeah, absolutely. 4 unanswered right before Dorfeev gets his second of the night, 12th of the postseason at 13:49. But even empty netters, no opportunity there for the extra skater to give VGK a bit of an advantage. So job well done. Brandon Bussey feels like a revelation for them. Jordan Staal, as you said, has now moved to odds on in the Conn Smythe odds. And I think that will be one of the talking points here as we get back to Vegas tomorrow night. Dave, if Jordan Staal scores, that's every game of the Stanley Cup final. It has been the biggest reason why they have been able to get off the ropes and come back out swinging, especially the way they did last night. And now you get some of the stuff. I mean, it was all studs for Carolina last night. Staal, the first. Svechnikov gets the power play to put him ahead. Aho finally finds the net.
Yes.
And then Svechnikov again on the power. So two power play goals for Svechnikov, and it really felt that for the first time all series, Carolina not only imposed their will, but finished imposed. Like, as you like to say in UFC, you know, if you get it down to the ground, you have to finish. That is what it looked like last night with Carolina. They got VGK on their heels. They knocked him down. They finished him. They submitted him on the ground, if you will. But I agree with you. Most complete start to finish, even giving up the first goal the way they did. And again, it was pretty tight there for the first 10, 12 minutes. I agree wholeheartedly. This was the best that Carolina has looked all series.
You mentioned Dorfia getting those couple goals there for VGK, and what's absent by is Mitch Marner again, right? And so now, because, and by the way, it's important for them to get Dorfia going and getting those two goals from him. You saw the second one too, and kind of the reaction that he had to it. It kind of felt like, all right, on an even strength goal, right? That he got the first one in the power play, but to get one 5-on-5, I think might have felt good. So there are some silver linings maybe VGK can take away, but you kind of look back now and you see Mitch Marner's over $3 to win the Conn Smythe. And I was theorizing, could he win it on the losing team? Well, was Stahl doing something historic, as you mentioned? And again, I brought this up yesterday in the show with Stormy. If you check her out with JVT, 2 to 4 p.m. here on the network as well. I know it's kind of that bitter Conn Smythe pill to swallow that this is now in context of Jordan Stahl, what he's done in this series. So we're starting to blur those lines of what the vote is supposed to be about versus what it might turn into. And this is, again, why we avoid these markets a lot of times, because it's very subjective that we've talked about, certainly in the NFL. So now, when Jordan Stahl has done something that has not been done since 1973, and oh by the way, a little symmetry here, when that was done in 73 with Les Habitants and the Canadiens, that's the last time the Knicks won the NBA title. Just saying. So Jordan Stahl is the first person to score 5 goals in 5 Stanley Cup games since 1973. So we got this symmetry with the NBA and the NHL aligning potentially here. That history that Stahl is doing, will that be enough in the voters' minds? Or to your point, Jensen, do you believe he'd have to score again in order to wrestle this way for Mitch Marner if Carolina does, in fact, go on to win the Cup?
I think if he has a point at all, and Carolina wins game 6 on the road, it's curtains. And Jordan Stahl will win it. We are now too much into the narrative momentum. At least it's the outside looking in. I don't have a vote. I don't know anyone that does. But that to me feels like where we're at. The flip side of it is looking at if Marner comes up with a point. Let's say that Marner has a deciding goal that forces game 7. Now you might get the pendulum swinging back to, okay, it may not matter. May not matter, because that was such an impactful, you know, moment of the series. If Marner doesn't do that, then, you know, we're not talking game 7. You know, John Tortorella's not able to go back free of charge to get his clothes that he left in the hotel there in Raleigh. So I think that's probably the one thing that you would look at first and foremost is if you believe Carolina finishes this thing off, then I think you could go a couple of ways. You could play Jordan Stahl to have a point and Carolina win and do that parlay, or just, you know, simply play Carolina on the money line and go from there.
It is crazy to see that now that Mitch Marner is plus $3 in the betting market to win Conn Smythe, that's shorter than VGK winning the Cup. They're plus 320. Mm-hmm. So the books have wisened up to the double chance opportunity here for Mitch Marner, and they will not give you the cookie on Mitch being longer and or the same number as VGK. So VGK is actually longer, plus 320, and it tells you that I would play the shorter number on Mitch Marner and give yourself that double chance just in case they go, well, the spirit of the rule is it's supposed to be for the entirety. It's not just this historic run that Jordan Stahl is on. But there's also sentimentality there when you get a guy who was, 37 in Jordan Stahl. He's been the captain here. He's kind of their rock in the middle. Certainly the power play when they win that draw, as we noted, and he goes right to the front of the net. That's really paid dividends for them. It's going to be hard to wrestle it away from Jordan Stahl if Carolina does win. But to your point, if they force a game 7 and Mitch Marner's a part of it, then he might be right back in play here for the Conn Smythe. Speaking of a game 7, which would be back in Raleigh, and you mentioned this with Torts, I love John Tortorella because he's always got something to say. Sometimes he's got a lot to say. Well, he is not packing just to go back home to Vegas. As you mentioned, Jensen, maybe leaving a little bit left in Raleigh for that all-important potential game 7.
John, in a spot like this, what do you want your team to draw on as you look ahead and move forward?
We're just going to get ready for our next game. We'll be back here. We're just going to do it in a different order. Yeah, I thought we had a good start. We had a really good start. We lost momentum when we went back-to-back in penalties. It's about the same time that we lost Bill. We got to find a way. I'm going to leave my clothes here. That's for sure. They'll be in the hotel.
Man's got a great tan. He mentioned Bill. William Karlsson did leave this contest. That's a key cog in the machine. And they did have things go against him in that second with the Karlsson injury. And then with those back-to-back penalties that he alluded to. And finally, Carolina was able to. And there, by the way, Carolina's power play has really picked up. You can see it when you're watching it. And they get that goal on that second back-to-back two-minute minors there. So it feels like that's working for them. Now, conversely, Carolina did take three bad penalties, and they were all the same variety. Delay of game, where you're shooting the puck over the boards. Nikolaj Ehlers had two of those, and it did give life to Vegas late, and then they pulled the goalie. So they actually had a 5-on-3 there momentarily at the end of the game. And Jensen, somebody sitting on a Carolina ticket last night, I'm going, oh, my goodness, what are you doing? Here comes the drama, but they were able to withstand it. I mentioned very quickly, just to put a bow on the Freddie Anderson thing, if you're looking at him for Conn Smythe, there feels like there's got to be something. This is what the broadcast crew was alluding to last night, if you're watching it, that there's got to be an injury now to Freddie, that this is not normal, that 2 days in a row he has not dressed. So I think what you're hearing from Rob Brind'Amour, keeps saying, oh, we're just going to give him more rest. He comes better on rest, that they might be potentially hiding an injury here. And that, not that it's out of necessity for Bussy to play, but I think they're protecting their goalie there in Frederik Andersen. And Jensen, again, if we can read between the lines, I don't think they would make the switch anyway if he was healthy, but I think we get our answer as to why officially the move was made to Brandon Bussy in the first place.
Yeah, Emily Kaplan saying before the game last night that he wasn't even out for morning skate, and that's all you needed to know. Is when you don't have that, that's a pretty good indicator. A, an injury. B, you know, some other things happening behind the scenes they don't want to talk about. By the way, I do have to say, John Tortorella, great in press conferences, was asked about swapping to backup goaltender Aiden Hill. He said, quote, that could be the stupidest question I've heard. Job well done for putting media in their place. Dave, I in a Lewis Ross administration, you ask something absurd like that, you will lose your media credential for the remaining of the series, and you could potentially be suspended for the next one that you cover, whether that is the next season or not. That is just idiotic to ask. One final note, thinking about what's going to happen over the weekend. Vegas, twice before, has been in a 2-2 series tie in the playoffs. The first round against Utah, and the second round against Anaheim. Both times, the Golden Knights had gone on to win Game 5 and close out the series in Game 6. That's not going to be the case here. So anxious to see if we get a trend snapped where Carolina has not lost consecutive games since mid-January. At least you're going back home. If you're a VGK backer, you'll have everyone behind you. You get home ice. But a monumental task with what feels like a hurricane headed for the West, the way that Rob Brind'Amour's crew is playing right now.
I will just say this. A lot of VGK fans were thinking what that reporter asked. I'll leave it at that. I love the way Torch retorts. And he's welcome to retort in kind, and he will. But I know a lot of EGK fans were thinking that exact same thing. You're watching By the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're tuned in to VSiN By the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue the VSiN By the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. And Jensen, I know you and I are going to be doing yeoman's work on this because the early bird special is upon us right now here with Championship Week. And we're going to help you bet it smarter. So for a limited time, early bird pricing on our football season special is just $175. So the sooner you sign up, the more value you're going to get. Access to everything we do through every major sport, through the Super Bowl, which is next February. That means the continuing drama that is the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Final, World Cup, which is upon us, plus Major League Baseball all summer long, and then get ready for this. Not only do you get the daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, but June 22nd, Jensen, get ready, because we're going to get all the best knowledge from all of our hosts here with our NFL betting guide. It will track futures, win totals, Divisional races for sure, and the full season to boot. So head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Jensen, I've got right. I know Adam Burke is waiting for all of us to get those official selections in. You don't have to tell us yet because everybody's got to get the guide and become a VSiN Pro subscriber on June 22nd. I have one team that's clearly in my crosshairs that I think you know about. How many teams have you identified as possible play-on teams? Any already that you have in the holster?
There's a handful. The Browns are an automatic fade for me until they prove otherwise. I don't think we're reinventing the wheel with that. It is just going to be an embarrassment watching them all year, and I hate to say that, but we don't really pull any punches here. We tell you like it is, and no. we really appreciate that people, hey, whether you agree with us or not, we're going to tell you 100% transparency. They are going to be awful this year, and it will be a great fade team for the entire NFL season.
Todd Monken's got his hands certainly in his work cut out for him this year. That's for sure. So a lot of work he's going to have to do with that football team in year number one. Our football team, American soccer. We're getting ready today, Jensen, because I know people are pumped up for USA and Paraguay today in Los Angeles and to kick it and get it going here on the pitch here for Team USA. It will be tonight. That'll be 9 p.m. Eastern in L.A. We've got a game a little bit earlier here with Canada and Bosnia and Herzegovina that'll get underway at 3 o'clock in Toronto Eastern time today. But we saw a couple games that we'll talk about there, and maybe the feel now that we've kind of broken the lid and the seal here in the World Cup to get it started. USA with a day to kind of get ready after watching a couple matches go off yesterday. We've talked about expectation levels a lot in the last week leading up to tonight for Team USA. It's still hard, Jensen, to curb those butterflies. You want to have them. Obviously, it's good. You know this as a competitor when you're looking forward to something and getting ready to get out there for the first time. What do we expect to see tonight from Team USA, and how much will nerves play a part of it?
I think the nerves are kind of done. I think it will be a bit conservative early because, you know, you're just trying to get yourself acclimated, and there will be pressure. Let's face it. This is a U.S. team that I think a lot of people look at and say, if you can't get out of the group stage with home field advantage, you certainly are going to face much more scrutiny than what they have. As it pertains to kind of where the match is tonight, Paraguay is incredible defensively. They have excellent discipline, and reading some of the experts and their explanations of how this match could play out. It's a lot of veterans on that Paraguay squad. They are going to really force the U.S. To be methodical, getting into scoring chances. It wouldn't shock me if this thing is tied very late, whether that is 0-0 or 1-1. I would say the early lean to me would be to take the half goal with Paraguay. But at the end of the day, you've got to find some intensity from the early minutes here and really kind of impose your will. If they can do that, then I think they got a better chance of getting out early. Of course, we're going to be targeting Christian Pulisic and what he does individually. I think the set piece opportunities, especially deep into the attacking zone, will be critical for the U.S. Score-wise, man, I would lean more towards a lower scoring game, a 1-0, 1-1. But if you get that early goal, if you get the crowd into it, it still feels to me like that first half is kind of disciplined, you know, not taking a lot of chances. And so I wouldn't even mind a couple of small unit plays, Dave, on first half draw. If you want to take the spread there, of course, get the half goal for Paraguay, not only the first half, but also full game. I think that's a way to look. Under one and a half in the first half. Just, you know, again, it's the first match for everybody. You're trying to get yourself, you know, into a flow. You're trying to feel everything out. I think maybe more of the chances get taken in the second half, maybe in those first 10 to 15 minutes. But to me, it feels like the first half would be a great place to target an under, and then really at halftime, evaluate what you've just watched for the first 45 minutes.
You know, we are the favorites to come out of this Group D at plus $1.30. Turkey is at plus $1.75. Paraguay, for their money is 4-1, and then Australia is the long shot here at 8-1. So we do have visions of grandeur to at least get out of this group. Now, we had Brian Dunseth on the program here on Tuesday. Great having a conversation with Brian about this, and we talked about exactly what we are right now. The expectation level for Team USA. Let's hear from Brian to see what his honest assessment is of this year's club.
I would say a competitive urgency is probably the best description I could give about this group, because they were combative. I think in the offensive phase of play, they were generating a ton of chances. And then ultimately, the mistakes that they made and the goals that they conceded were down to fine margins, which at this level is only going to ramp up with intensity. And ultimately, you know, the clash of success and failure is going to be these small little margins. So when I looked at this group and talking to Tyler Adams and Tim Weah and Mark McKenzie before the start of the game against Germany, you know, you could hear the youthful exuberance, but also kind of the chiseled experiences that they got in Qatar. And I'll tell you what, guys, they still have a bitter taste in their mouth for how they played versus the end result and losing in the quarterfinals against Netherlands in 2022.
Yeah, Brian's been doing yeoman's work covering this team, and obviously 9 years a pro, so he knows the game up and down himself. So when he talks about that experience for this group, Jensen, that's coming back from Qatar, which did not go well 4 years ago, and that, yeah, they've got some of those younger guys in there, but they've got some of those chiseled guys. And I like the way he phrased that. That experience, what do you think this team leans on or leans on more? Is it going to be to the young group? Or is it to the guys that maybe did not have the best success and do have still that bitter taste in their mouth from 4 years ago?
Well, the easy answer is that the guys that have been there, you know, you look to them early. That's kind of what we all do as professionals is, okay, when you get into a new scenario, I can tell you from experience what I did in Yankee Stadium. When we as the Cleveland Indians headed in with a 2-0 series lead over the Yankees, and you kind of look up and around, you're like, not Kansas anymore. We are certainly in enemy territory here. That, I think, though, is the equalizer and maybe the motivator here for Team USA. In your own backyard, you will have a decided home field advantage. I think that is something you lean into early on. So, Dave, if I were to make, I was just kind of making a cliff notes of what I would find to be actionable angles tonight. Do I think the U.S. wins the game? Yes. Ultimately, I think they win. A 2-1 score. Maybe 2-0 if you want to get a win to nil out there. That's an angle that I could look at. I also could see this thing going under. So again, I'm just giving you a list. We're giving you kind of ideas and angles of where you think this game could go. The other one I would say is you could do, if you're not comfortable with the total, you could do a parlay, Dave, of the United States winning plus both teams not to score. So essentially, you're looking for a clean sheet from the United States side. We just don't have to worry of, hey, if the U.S. goes bonkers, they win 3-0, then you don't have to worry about the total. You could play just Paraguay, you know, or a U.S. to keep a clean sheet, and then you also don't have to worry about it. So different ways to play this thing if you think that the United States does win. Or, Dave, if no one scores, you keep a clean sheet. Doesn't matter. So you right. kind of escape that as well. So a lot of different ways to play this United States opener here later on tonight.
So if I'm picking up what you're putting down, you do believe that we will win in game one against Paraguay. That's what you said in a nutshell right there.
I knew you were going stage
of elimination very quickly here for Team USA. Again, we hope that they get at least out of the group stage here, plus $1.30 to do that. But as they go deeper in this, and again, realistic betting expectations that are out there for Team USA. Look, we all want to play the 60-1, that they're going to win the World Cup. I don't know that that's plausible to get to the semifinal and be the runner-up is 28-1 to at least get to the semis before knocked out is 12-1. Quarters is 5. Is there any number there very quickly that you think might be advantageous?
No, none of them. And I think that you better just play the money line rollover at that point. It feels like that is the one thing that could ultimately get you a much higher ROI than just playing those future numbers.
So if you believe they're going to win, then win the whole thing, ultimately. Just roll it over, people. Probably better than the 60-1 that the books are offering right now. Okay, lots more to get to, including the NBA. Have a breathing and kind of an exhale and a day off before we get down to San Antonio for Game 6 on Saturday. Let's break it down next right here. Beaston by the Books.
tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books, Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis. Let's be honest about it, Jensen. I mean, you and I love baseball, so, you know, we love the 162 that we get throughout the year. We love football the most. It's our national pastime, right? It's the sport that we can't wait to just ingest, whether it's college, the NFL. Once it starts, there's nothing quite like it. The last couple weeks here with the Stanley Cup playoffs and the NBA playoffs have been absolutely riveting. And I didn't know that that would be the case. I mean, Stanley Cup playoffs, I think we expect it every year. NBA, the beginning of the postseason was like, all right. Mm-hmm. And then you get to Wemby and the Spurs and the Knicks. I'm not saying that they're saving Adam Silver in the association, but they should probably put a little thank you note out there to what they've done collectively for the country and how much interest this series has garnered here with the Spurs and the Knicks. Going back to San Antonio for game six tomorrow night, I'm sure Adam Silver, and this should play into your handicap, would love to see the Spurs force a game seven, force a game six, because game five with the Knicks up 3-1, to force at least a game six back at the world's most famous arena for many different reasons. They're 5-point favorites to do just that. I'm not saying that we're going to have the extender and come in there and make sure we go back to New York for a game six, but Jensen, that is clearly what the league would love to see.
But again, this is not going to be a close game either way in my mind. I think either the Knicks blow him out, this is it, San Antonio can't get off the deck, or this is San Antonio winning by margin. This does feel like that desperation, obviously a season on the line narrative. I don't know how San Antonio gets up, brother. And for selfish reasons, we already have the Knicks at our futures prices mm-hmm. that we do. Hard for me to go against, even at minimum, taking the 5, 5.5, and just kind of looking to see where we are, Dave, just from a numbers perspective. It actually is much more even than I thought it would be. 56% of bets, but 53% of money on the Knicks at +5.5. There are still plenty of those around. FanDuel, DraftKings, BetRivers, BetMGM, Fanatics have that. And for what it's worth, the money line is actually setting up more as a pro versus Joe in favor of the Knicks. 42% of bets, but 66% of dollars on the Knicks +165. So again, we know that Steve Mackinnon's finals trend has been what it's been. You know, the winner is going to cover, albeit in game four. That did not happen. I'm sure a lot of sports books out there were very excited to get what they got, knowing that it fell one. But I don't know about you, buddy. This feels like a coronation, and I don't think the Knicks want to allow the Spurs any breathing room, especially the monumental nature of the collapse and the way that game four finished heading into what we'll eventually see tomorrow night.
That's the sticking point for me, is that when you've got a 29-point second half lead and you can't close that out, and everybody took their turns and kind of falling down, right? Wemby missing the free throws. De'Aaron Fox, what are you doing? I know you said you had to score, but you could have held the ball. You know, from the coaching side of it too, there's a lot of blame to go around when you blow a 29-point lead in any game, let alone an NBA final. We'd never seen it before. I don't know that we'll ever see it again. And that's the hard part for me, because I've made this kind of denotation. If you go back to the Western Conference Finals, where OKC clearly waved the flag a couple times in those games when they got down. Like, they would not even have attempted to make the comeback the way the Knicks did. They would just say, all right, I'm going to bench SGA, which they did, not even going to play the fourth quarter, and we're going to get back home, and everything's going to be right when we get back. That is not Mike Brown. That is not this iteration of the Knicks. And they just seem to give you no quarter. You might be beating them, but they're going to play this thing out. And, Jensen, that's what would make me nervy if you're laying the 5 with the Spurs. How do you kill this team? Nobody's been able to do it. You can beat them. And congratulations, you ended their 13-game losing streak. But you know what they didn't do? They didn't quit. It made you earn every single thing you get. So when I look at that, could the Spurs win tomorrow night and force us back to New York? Yeah. Will they win it by margin? I'd be surprised. They could. But what I do know, if we've been following these trends, it's not because they're going to pull Jalen Brunson. Are they going to pull Kat? Are they going to pull some of these guys to rest them? That is not in their DNA. They're going to play this thing out. Maybe it's the old Tom Thibodeau that's coming out with Mike Brown now as a replacement, that we're going to play all four quarters. But I think that mentality that maybe was established with the previous coach is certainly on the forefront here with these guys. And Jalen Brunson, when he speaks, Jensen, it's like, this is what we expect, man. We don't expect the easy way. We don't expect days off. We're going to go out there and grind this thing out. And if we come out ahead in five, great. I'm sorry, fan base. We'll just have a big old parade back there in New York, and everybody will be happy that it's Knicks in five. I'd rather be on the side of grabbing the five than laying it, just with that mentality that the Knicks have shown here.
Yeah, I agree. there's really not much more to discuss on where we are MVP-wise, because I think it's pretty cut and dry that it's going to be Brunson unless Ananobi has like a 40-point outburst, and Brunson is, what, like 4 of 20 from the field. Like, it would have to be so one-sided. And as an extension of why I talked about with you earlier in the week, was most valuable player in my mind is when you take them away, what is your team like after that? If I take OG Ananobi away, the Knicks are still okay. A leaner, but they're still okay. I take Brunson away, the entire castle falls apart. So it's Wemby or Brunson. If the voters go a different way, I'll be shocked with the body of work that we have at this point. I think the only other way to pivot, Dave, and we've said this a lot, looking at OptAI, and a great reason why you should be a VSiN Pro subscriber, is you can kind of leverage some of those plays that, let's say you like Ananobi, but you don't have the monstrosity of a ticket of 45 to 1 before what happened. So at plus 410, to me, he's got to score, 30 plus. Like, that's where I would go. Go to the points ladder, 30 or more, 35 or more, something of that nature. Would you be on board with that? Like, that to me feels like you get a couple of bites of the apple instead of leaving it up to the voters, who can be really, drawn away by emotions and looking at the moment.
Absolutely. I would say this, and I hope people listened to our show here, because I gave this out after game two, where Cat was almost co-MVP prices with Jalen Brunson. And I mentioned then on the program, you should grab Jalen, especially if you had those big Cat tickets at 22 to 1, 12 to 1, whatever it might be. You could have still gotten Jalen Brunson at plus money before game three, before the venue switched back to the Garden. And now he's odds on. But I'll say this, depending on your book, there is a discrepancy out there in the marketplace, and I want people to be aware of this discrepancy. The Knicks are minus $5 to win the NBA title. You're seeing $1.40 on your screen if you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network. If you go to DraftKings, you can still get Brunson at minus $1.10 to win MVP. So if you didn't listen as when I gave that out here earlier in the week at plus money, at least at DraftKings, you can get him at minus $1.10. And right now, that's at FanDuel at minus $1.40. Shop around. Jensen, I would advocate still to play Brunson MVP at minus $1.10. Yeah. That gets you two bites at the apple here, whether they wrap it up tomorrow night in San Antonio and or a game six back in New York. I think that's a really smart way to handicap this thing. Again, the OG Ananobi, if he goes for 40, yes, that would change things. But because Brunson, as you mentioned, has been such a constant throughout this final, and again, that narrative street of who got you there, and I know it's not supposed to be the playoffs in totality, that still plays into the mentality of the voters. I think Brunson at minus $1.10, you might be stealing money at this point.
Yep. One final thought for you on the total. It did open at 218. We're down in many places now, Dave, to 216.5. I am actually seeing 216s in a faraway land. So this is always the ridiculous part when you look at splits. It is one-way traffic on the over, yet the total has come down 1.5, 2 points. So take that for what it's worth. I would lean towards the under right now. We'll kind of see what happens when we wake up tomorrow and get into the afternoon to see if there is a late push one way or another. But Dave, if I'm calling my shot right now, I think it's the Knicks. Maybe let's just say it. Knicks in an under, 107, ooh, 104. I'll say it's closer. All right. I know I talked about, oh no, I don't think it's going to be one way or another. All right. I'll amend my statement. Perhaps the final stand to try and defend the Alamo one last time by the Spurs. I think the Knicks land that final blow and they win it by three. Knicks 107, Spurs 104.
Yeah, this is not a situation where you want to play with your food if you're the Knicks. If you get the opportunity, I know the story is Madison Square Garden and bring it back to New York. Right, you had the chance to close it out in the Garden. You didn't get it done in Game 3. You have the miraculous comeback in Game 4. I don't think they really care too much about where and when this series ends. If they get the opportunity on Saturday night, they better take care of it, because you know Wembanyama, by the way, who's about plus 350 to win the MVP. If you still think the Spurs are live, clearly he's going to be the MVP on the other side. But I think Jensen and I just gave you a good reason. If you can find $1.10 on Jalen Brunson, that'd be the nice pivot here, because, again, two bites at the apple, no pun intended, for the Knicks to get it done before it shifts back to the Big Apple, if necessary, for a Game 6. This is By the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.